This is Castle Playhouse. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, your hosts, the brewers of Castle Lager, bring you the week's finest radio entertainment, Castle Playhouse.
Man in a Burning Hat by Fiona Bonnell.
This time of night. Is that you, Maggie?
Yes.
What's the matter?
It's Keith. It's after four and he hasn't come back yet.
Keith? Back from where?
I don't know, John. I tried to phone you all night, but you weren't there. John, I'm frantic. I just can't think anymore. I can't imagine what could have happened to him. John.
Hey, hold on there, Maggie. Look, I just got in myself. It happens sometimes.
It's different for you. You're not married. Anyhow, it's how he went off that worries me.
You mean you quarreled?
Nothing like that. See, John, could you come over?
Yes, of course, right away. Have you phoned Mom and Dad?
Well, earlier on at about 9, I thought Keith might have gone round there for some reason or other, but he hadn't. I didn't say much to them. I didn't want them worried.
Right. It'll take Mary 10 minutes to get over to your place this time of night. Waiting out here, Maggie?
We'll go in now.
A bit chilly for April, isn't it?
Something's happened to Keith. Something terrible's happened.
No, like what?
A car crash, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, let's go inside and phone the general.
I already have several times, and nursing homes and the police, but there's no one been hurt tonight in Johannesburg. It's been an accident-free night so far. That's what they all keep saying, so far. Something's happened to him, I know. He's never been out this late without warning me. Keith knows I'm a worrier. He phones me when he's delayed for even half an hour. Now it's nearly morning. Something's terribly wrong. Perhaps something to do with fur. John, he just went up and killed himself.
Maggie, this isn't like you. Look, you sit over here and tell your big brother all about it. I'll pour you a brandy.
I've already had one.
Well, so much the better.
Two, actually. I had one with Keith when he first came home this evening. We were going out to celebrate. It's our wedding anniversary today.
Oh, of course. Mum reminded me to send you some flowers. I forgot. Here, drink this. Cheers and happy anniversary.
John!
Drink first, cry afterwards, when you've told me what happened.
Well, we booked a table for an early dinner at the Ginger Dragon, and we were going on to the theatre from there. Keith came home soon after 6 to pick me up. Look, he bought me this. Four diamonds. One for each year we've been married.
A chap who can buy his wife a ring like that can't be in any financial trouble.
Oh, or no, could... this ring's fabulous business. Everybody says so. Remember how he told us when we first met him that he'd be a rich man by the time he was 30?
Made it by the time he was 25. No one finds out I'm Keith Scobie's brother-in-law, my stocks shoot up immediately. So he didn't forget the anniversary, huh?
No, he gave me my present, poured out a couple of drinks, played with Gregory. He seemed happy and normal. And then about 20 minutes later, for no apparent reason, he just got into his car and drove off without a word. One moment we were all of us together in the lounge, and the next moment Keith was gone. Elizabeth was just taking Gregory off to bed.
Come on, big boy. Put your toys in your box.
Oh, you can let him off tonight, Elizabeth. It's a bit late. I want him settled down before Master and I go out. You can tidy up later when he's in bed.
Yes, madam.
Nighty night, Gregory. You come. Give Daddy a big kiss, huh? Wow, what a kiss. What a boy.
Off you go with Elizabeth, darling. Mummy will come and kiss you goodnight.
Nighty night. Sleep tight.
Oh, that is a good boy.
Daddy. You're getting too clever, Gregory.
Hear that, Maggie? He said Daddy, not Dada or anything. That's pretty good for 16 months, isn't it?
Remarkable. Genius, like his dad.
Well, who's contradicting you?
Come on, darling, we have to hurry. Can I get into the bathroom now?
Well, I'll just do my eyes and then you can.
Can't you do your eyes in the bedroom?
I need water. If I'm in the bedroom, I have to spit.
Spit? At who?
Oh, never mind. I'll be back in a jiffy.
Yeah, hurry, doll.
I will. Hilda is staying in tonight, madam. Can I pick up the toys now, please?
Yes, tidy up. Gregory's been at the ashtrays, too. That was the last I saw of Keith. I wasn't out of the room for more than 3 minutes when I heard his car drive off. I thought he might have gone to fill up at the Turret Avenue garage, but when he wasn't back after 20 minutes, I began to feel edgy. I tried phoning his office. I thought he may have left the theater tickets behind or something, but there was no reply. Then I started phoning everywhere and everybody, some twice or more.
And hadn't anyone seen him?
Not since he left the office.
And he came straight home, had one drink here, then jumped into his car and was off.
Without a word of explanation to anyone. John, what does it mean? There must be some reason, but where? What?
Did he say anything to Elizabeth?
Elizabeth?
Your nanny. She was tidying up the lounge, remember?
Well, I asked her straight away, of course, but Keith hadn't said a word.
He may have done, but she misunderstood.
No, not Elizabeth. She's very bright.
I'd better have a word with her all the same. And the others.
Now?
No, we can wait until morning.
Well, they'll be coming in at about 6:30.
Oh, that'll do.
John, surely you must have a theory about this. What do you think happened?
Maggie, I can't begin to think till I've spoken to Elizabeth for a start. Something may have happened, must have happened, between the time you went out of the room and then heard the car drive off. A phone call, perhaps?
I asked Elizabeth. There wasn't.
A message, a letter. Perhaps something you read in the paper.
I thought of that, too. I looked through the letters. I looked through the paper. There was nothing.
How do you know? There might have been something in the paper that would have meant nothing to you or me, but would to Keith. An ad, perhaps. Something he decided to investigate straight away.
Without a word of explanation to anybody. Don't forget, it's our wedding anniversary. We were going out to celebrate.
Well, he was in a tearing hurry. Didn't have time. He meant to phone you later.
Well, then why didn't he? Well, that's probably what happened, but then something went wrong. An accident, I'm sure of it.
Look, supposing he'd had a crash. Just supposing. Then he must have had it soon after he left here. Within a few minutes, can't you see?
What do you mean, before 7:00?
Correct. That was nearly 10 hours ago. The police would have got in touch with you by now.
Supposing they couldn't identify him.
Well, you said you'd phoned the police and the hospital.
That was much earlier on, before I started phoning you. Incidentally, where were you?
Oh, engagement party. Didn't break up till 3. Oh. Just getting ready for bed when you phoned.
Oh, you must be terribly tired.
No, I'm all right. I think you should have a couple of hours' sleep.
Oh, I couldn't.
Of course you could. Take a sleeping tablet. Look, there's absolutely nothing either of us can do right now. So get some sleep, and then at 9 we'll go down to Keith's office. See what we can find out there. Have you any sleeping tablets?
Keith keeps some in the mix. Oh, John. Pat, oh, no.
Poor kid. Go off a rocker if anything happened to Keith.
Oh, it's all right. I've got them. Oh, I thought perhaps Keith had taken them. I thought maybe...
Were you thinking Keith may have committed suicide?
Yes.
Not with morphodons, Maggie. They're not that strong. Now, come on. Take 2 of these.
Thanks for coming, John. It doesn't seem quite so bad all of a sudden. You wake me at 8.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you going to sleep?
Of course. First, I must have something to eat. And since I've moved into that flat of my own, I never seem to get enough.
Good morning, Master.
Morning, Elizabeth.
When you come, Master John?
Oh, about an hour ago.
Oh, the master not come back yet.
Not yet, Elizabeth. Tell me, did you notice anything wrong with Mr. Scobie when he came home from the office yesterday?
Oh, the master, he is like always, until he read the letter.
What letter was that, Elizabeth?
A letter that came yesterday. When master he waiting for madam, he look at letters. And then after he get into car and go away.
Why didn't you tell this to my sister?
When you nanny master, the madam don't like you know too much. But now I also worry for master. Maybe he have accident in car.
Elizabeth, do you know who the letter was from?
No, master. William, the new garden boy, bring in 7 letters from box when he come from lunch.
Uh-huh.
I look first. Sometimes there's letter for me. But there is letters only for master and madam yesterday. In brown covers, like a guns from shop.
There was a letter Mr. Scobie was reading, also an account.
I think it is, first, because it is in brown cover. But now I think it was letter from government, official. I found pieces torn small in the ashtray.
Right, show me.
But I threw it away when I emptied the ashtray last night, master.
Where?
Here, in the rubbish bin.
All covered in baby food and mealy pup. Well, I have to find those pieces and get them out.
But they are all wet, Master.
No, we'll dry them. They look like something official, all right. Let's have all the pieces on this table, Elizabeth. After breakfast, I'll play a jigsaw puzzle. Maggie?
Mm?
Don't you want to wake up now, Maggie?
It's 8:00 already.
It's 11.
You promised to wake me at 8.
Still no news, so there's no point. Anyway, I was busy taking up again with hospitals and so on.
And?
Keith definitely was not involved in any motor smash on the reef.
Oh. An accident. A slight accident on the way to the garage would have explained everything. There have been several in Tewit Avenue recently.
There were no accidents at all in Johannesburg last night. A couple on the reef, Springs, Broncos, Sprit. The passengers were all Bantu.
Oh, I like it dressed. We have to call at Keith's office.
I've already been there.
What?
I've just got back. I thought it was better that I should go alone. I spoke to the company secretary. What's his name?
It is Basil.
That's right. Sometimes it's easier to find out things if the wife's not around.
I see. And did you?
What?
Find out something a wife's not supposed to know?
No. And for the simple reason that there's nothing to find out, apparently. No extramural lady friends, no financial embarrassment of any sort. In fact, business is excellent, and public relations couldn't be better. I told Basil the whole story. He was just as mystified as you and I.
Well, that's that. I was pinning a lot of hope on finding out something from Basil. A secret business deal, a sudden trip, something like that. Basil would have known.
Now, the interview wasn't entirely fruitless, though. I found out one or two important facts. I rather thought that Keith may have gone back to the office last night to collect his passport, probably money from the safe. Well, he hadn't. Nothing had been removed. I was also able to establish that Keith must have, only about 50 rand in cash on him. Well, he can't go far on that. But the most important thing I found out is that Keith hasn't been himself lately.
In what way?
He's been a little more highly strung, a little more irritable than usual. And his concentration hasn't been all it usually is. Other members of the staff have remarked on it too, apparently. It wasn't just Basil's imagination. Now, have you noticed anything like that, Maggie?
No, nothing like that. Only the nightmares.
Nightmares?
Well, that's how we came to have the morphodons, the sleeping pills. Keith's been having very bad nights lately, lying awake for hours some nights. Or he's been waking up screaming or crying. I was terribly worried when it first started and got him to see our doctor. It's been caused by strain and overwork, apparently. Our doctor put him on morphodons, and he's been a lot better since he started taking them.
Basil Davila says we'd better soft pedal on what's happened. You know, tell as few people as possible that Keith's disappeared. Avoid going to the police if we possibly can. You see, we must be very careful that none of this leaks to the press. Now, the public might misinterpret the whole thing and start cancelling holiday bookings. Could do the firm a lot of harm. Might even be the end.
But John, I've already phoned the police.
Oh, that's all right, that's all right. And Basil said we're not to stir anything up if we can possibly avoid it. Keith spent thousands on publicity, but publicity of the wrong kind could be disastrous.
Who can we turn to, then?
I'm not sure. We have to think out a plan of some sort. Look, Maggie, did Keith say anything to you about a summons he received yesterday for a traffic offence?
No.
Elizabeth told me that Keith was looking through yesterday's mail before he disappeared. She swears that this traffic summons had upset him. He started shaking when he read it, then tore it into tiny pieces, got into his car and drove off.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
It sounds ridiculous, I know, but you weren't in the room at the time Elizabeth was. And I collected most of the torn fragments and put them together. It's just a summons for double parking way back in January. It couldn't have been that upset him. But it could easily have been a letter. A letter he took with him. Now, what letters arrived yesterday? Can you remember?
Well, let me think. Mostly accounts. A couple of circulars. Well, let's see. The butcher, greengrocer, an invitation to an art gallery. Oh, yes, a circular for my hairdressers. And then this official letter for Keith. Summons, I suppose. Oh, yes, and one from an estate agent asking us if we're interested in selling our house.
That makes five. Elizabeth said there were six or seven.
Oh, that's right. A note from Blanche Grenier thanking us for a wedding present.
Wasn't the one addressed to Keith, personally?
Oh, only that Unterlook official letter. Summons, I suppose.
Had you opened it?
No, of course not.
Well, I phoned the traffic department and asked them to send me a duplicate. I told them I'd mislaid the original. With luck, we'll get it tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning? Do you expect we shall have to go through a whole day of not knowing what's happened to Keith?
It's possible, Maggie, yes.
But when I fell asleep, I prayed that it would be Keith who'd wake me up. I can't stand this suspense. I just can't take it.
I'll go out and give you a chance to get dressed. Gregory's been asking for you.
John, this might be important. Could you see who it is?
Yes, of course. I think you might be right. Yeah, I'll tell you, Elizabeth. Right on his side.
John, who is it?
This might be it, Maggie. Look.
Telegram. It's from Keith, I'm sure. Oh, it's all right. He's alive. John, what does it say?
Why don't you open it?
Yes, it's from Keith. Oh, Johnny's alive. If anyone asks, I'm away on business for unspecified period. Don't worry, stop. She'll contact you when I can. Love, Keith.
Oh, there you are. Oh, don't worry. Let's have a look. Hand it in at Nelspruit at 8:45. No, he'll probably be back this evening or he'll phone you.
Unspecified period? What does that mean, for goodness sake? John, this isn't an explanation. It's a delaying tactic. He's stalling for time. It tells me exactly nothing. He doesn't mention Gregory. He always does. He doesn't apologize for last night. It's not like him. It might have been sent by somebody else.
Perhaps it was, Maggie. Keith might have been busy.
You don't know him. I do. John, listen to me. He's in some sort of trouble. He's in some terrible trouble. I must go to him. He needs me. I must find him.
Into the spare room, Elizabeth, and tell my daughter I'm here.
Yes, Granny.
Is Gregory all right?
He's sleeping, madam.
You shouldn't let him sleep so late in the afternoon. No wonder he takes time to settle down at night.
Yes,
is that you, Mother?
Oh, yes, darling. Where are you?
Hello, Mother.
Hello, dear.
Did John tell you?
Yes, he did. He called round at lunchtime and told me all about it.
Oh, I don't know what to do. I can't just sit here waiting and hoping for another telegram, phone call or something.
No, darling, no.
Mother.
Oh, come, darling. It'll be all right. I have a feeling it's going to be all right.
You and your feelings,
Mother. And aren't I nearly always right?
Nearly, yes.
If you don't believe me, then ask your father. He'll be here soon. He's coming straight from work. Dad and I are going to stay here with Gregory, and that'll leave you and John free to start some sort of, well, search, I suppose you'd call it.
But what if Keith phones me or writes?
I'm quite capable of answering the telephone. I can also read and write. Don't you want to go, Maggie?
Oh, yes, of course, but where to? Nelspruit, just because he sent a telegram from there, he might be anywhere by now.
Oh, certainly. But instead of sitting around here biting your nails... Stop it, Maggie. You'll be better off doing something.
No, but... Yeah? Supposing Keith doesn't want me to follow him?
Why not?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, nonsense. A wife can always tell whether her husband wants her or not. Has there been any sort of trouble between you?
No. Only... When we were on holiday, we decided that we wanted another child. But since then, when I mentioned it on several occasions, Keith had either changed the subject or said quite bluntly that he's changed his mind.
Well, he's been working very hard lately. He told us he'd have to do a lot of travelling this year. He probably wants you to go with him, but with a baby on the way, it wouldn't really work out, would it? You know, it's not always very easy to be married to an ambitious and successful man, Maggie dear. There are disadvantages as well as advantages.
Where did you get all this practical psychology from? You and Dad lead such a quiet life.
From reading ladies' journals and listening to radio serials. They're full of psychology. Now, are you going to wake Gregory or shall I?
Oh, he gets so bad-tempered if we wake him. I'd sooner he woke up by himself.
But it's almost 4. Oh, all right. I mustn't interfere. That's another thing I learn from women's magazines. Grannies are always wrong. All they're good for is knitting woolies and baking cakes.
Don't forget that they're also allowed to buy extravagant presents on birthdays.
Let's have some tea, Maggie. John should be here any minute.
Hilda's bringing it. I can hear her.
If Keith doesn't phone tonight, John would like you to start off first thing in the morning.
Where would we start looking? That's John now. How's Dad getting back?
Oh, on the bus as far as Rosebank. It's no bother for him. He says he prefers a bus at rush hours these days. And I can't say I blame him. I'll tell you this. If I hadn't learnt to drive when I was a young woman in Grahamstown, I'd never have had the nerve to learn up here.
It's a tea, madam. And Master John is here.
Oh, thank you, Elizabeth. Put the tray down here next to me.
Gregory, he wake up already, madam. Here does she dress him. She bring him soon to see his granny.
Do you think I can wait that long? I haven't seen him for over a week.
Hello, Ma.
I'll be back in a minute, dear.
Hello, Mac.
Hello.
Well, I've managed to get a few days' leave. Let's have some tea. We can plan.
I wonder if I should pour Mother's tea out here. Once she goes into Gregory, she forgets herself. Was it all right?
What?
Getting time off?
No, it's never much problem in our department. They're always keen for us to take time off for radiology. You know that. I took a week.
A week? Do you think it'll take us as long as that to find Keith?
I can do with a week's leave, that's all. Cake?
No, thanks.
Look, Maggie, you'll have to eat something, you know. And I want you to have a good night's sleep as well if you're coming with me in the morning.
When shall we start?
About 6.
To Nelspruit.
Mm-hmm. For a start. When was Keith there last, you know?
October last year. Well, not in Nelspruit, really. We just passed through on our way to White River.
Mm. Business?
No, we stayed at the Dome for a couple of days.
Dome Hotel, huh?
Do you think think if they've gone there again?
It's possible.
Why did we phone?
Yeah, we couldn't possibly explain by phone. We want to avoid publicity, remember. We'll certainly call there and make discreet inquiries.
You sound like a professional private eye or something.
You know, I was debating whether we shouldn't engage a detective to work for us. I decided against it. Several reasons.
Such as?
There's so many things about this business that we don't understand. How can we expect to explain them to a stranger? Take this, this traffic summons, for instance.
What about it?
We don't know for sure that it was the summons that upset Keith, but he did tear it up into tiny pieces. Now, why?
I have no idea.
Well, I have a theory. On January the 2nd, Keith's car was double-parked in 3rd Avenue at 8 p.m. That much I could make out from the torn-up summons. Now, when you get one of these, you either call in at the nearest police station, pay an admission of guilt fine, or if you've missed the deadline, you appear in court. But you certainly can't deal with it by simply tearing it up into 46 pieces. Tearing it up gets you exactly nowhere.
No, of course not.
When did you get back from your holiday, Plattenberg Bay?
On the Saturday after the New Year. I flew back with Gregory.
That's right, I remember. And Keith drove back and arrived on the 2nd.
Yes, he must have stopped to buy something in Tyrwhitt Avenue and got ticketed.
Yeah, that's it.
But what's all this got to do with Keith's disappearance?
Maggie, here's the morning paper for Friday, the 3rd of January. Look here. Third Haven Boy Scout killed by hit-and-run motorist. You remember the incident, don't you?
Yes. The servants talked about it after I got back. They knew the little boy.
Well, that motorist was never found, Maggie.
You don't think Keith killed him, do you?
Somebody did.
No. Not Keith. He wouldn't do such a thing. He couldn't.
That's right. He couldn't. Because he couldn't, he began to dream, to have nightmares, or sleepless nights. When did these start, Maggie?
When we got back from our Christmas holiday. Oh, no. No, to kill a child and run away. Man, I can't bear it. What's going to happen to Keith when they find him?
Look, Maggie, it's only a theory. I might be wrong.
You're not wrong. You see, on the Sunday after I got back, the police were here. I didn't pay much attention to it at the time. It was just a routine check, they said. They were calling on all the homes around here, asking people whether they'd heard anything and where they were at 8 o'clock on that Thursday evening.
Yes?
And I remember Keith telling them that I wasn't here at all and that he was on his way back from Plett. That he was passing through Vereeniging at 8. They seemed perfectly satisfied and went away. They'd never been back.
Why should they? Keith had an alibi. Very plausible one. Until that traffic ticket turned up right out of the blue. A ticket which Keith collected by pure chance shattered his alibi in the most conclusive way possible. Keith didn't know about the ticket at the time, of course. It probably blew off or something, so he believed he'd got away with it. Until the official notification arrived last night. He knew that it was only a matter of time before the police collated information and compared notes, and then they too would realize he had told a deliberate lie. They want to know why he had lied, Maggie. Keith realized all that when he saw that summons. He needed time to think. Time to decide what to do. Time to discover whether the police suspected him. For how could he have been at Vereeniging at 8 when he was ticketed at precisely that time right here in Rosebank? So Keith panicked, you see? Got into his car and drove away. A guilty man in a burning hat. My name's Lucas. We wonder whether you've had a Mr. Scobie staying here. This is my sister, Mrs. Scobie.
How do you do, Mrs. Scobie? Yes, your husband was staying here.
Tom.
Well, yes, of course, I remember your staying here last October, wasn't it?
That's right. When did my husband leave?
Early yesterday, just after breakfast. There you are.
Checked out at 8, destination Lorenzo Marx.
That's right.
When did he arrive here?
Very late, on Monday night, about after midnight, I'd say. As a matter of fact, everybody had already gone to bed. But of course, we managed to look after Mr. Scobie. Yes, excuse me. Dome Hotel, White River. Good morning. A party of 6. Yes?
Well, I suppose we'd better get going again. To L.M.
I don't think so, Maggie. I'll tell you why later. It's for lunch here anyway. Book in for tonight. Pretty central. We can work from here. And Mum's phoning at 1, don't forget.
Will that suit you? Thank you very much, Mr. Miller. Now, will you be requiring accommodation for tonight, Mrs. Scobie?
Yes, two singles.
Certainly, madam. Bed and breakfast or full board?
Bed and breakfast will do fine. We'll be travelling around during the day.
Oh, yes. The park. Best time of the year.
Yes.
Not too hot or crowded. Will you please sign here?
Yes, of course. Thank you.
And Mrs. Scobie? Would you like to see your room, Mrs. Scobie?
Please, I want to freshen up.
I'm putting you in the room that your husband had. Will that suit you?
Thank you.
It's just up the stairs, number one. This room all right, Maggie?
Keith was here only about 24 hours ago. He was here thinking, worrying, perhaps planning. What, John? Planning what? Slept on this pillow, he touched this lamp. What did he decide to do as he sat here on the edge of the bed? Just here.
That's right. Sat there thinking. Then he went into a nail sprait. Now, why?
Well, I can think of two reasons. He wanted to send me that telegram. And it is, after all, on the way to Lorenzo Marks.
I think we can safely forget L.M. Keith had left his passport in the office safe, remember?
But it said L.M. on the hotel register.
I know, Maggie, but only because he had to put down something. Most of the entries on that page said L.M., didn't you notice?
Well, then, why didn't he phone like he said he would? Where did he spend last night?
I don't know. That's what we have to figure out. Now, why didn't he send a telegram from here, by phone or from White River itself? Why go into Nelspruit?
Well, you must remember that Keith ran away because he panicked. And when you're panicking, you're too restless to stay put in any one place. He spent the night here because it's secluded and peaceful. But when he woke up yesterday morning, he felt a kind of compulsion to move on.
More than a compulsion. Keith's wondering how long it'll take the police to realize his connection with the Boy Scout accident. If he's lucky, then perhaps never. If he's unlucky, then someone will spot it in the next day or so. I think he thinks they'll call round to see you, that you'll tell them your husband's away on business. But then if they press for further information, you'll tell them that you had a wire from him, handed in at Nelspruit. Then the local police will pick up the trail, go round inquiring at hotels, garages, and so on. Keith may have decided to use Nelspruit and possibly even the Dome Hotel as a kind of testing pot. Do you follow?
So why go to this length? Why not phone me and ask if the police have been around again?
Because he's still hoping against hope that they might not connect his parking offense with a statement regarding the accident. And that no one will place the one next to the other and compare notes. And of course, it's more than likely that nobody ever will.
But surely by ignoring the summons, he'll only draw attention to it. The smart thing to have done was to pay up and hope for the best.
Oh, the smart thing, yes, Maggie. But when you're in a state of nervous tension, perhaps close to nervous collapse, you don't do the smart thing. You panic. You see, Keith's guilty. Because he's guilty, he started running like the man with the burning hat.
It's the second time you've said that about the burning hat. What do you mean?
Oh, it's just a folk story I once heard. A chief was worried about a thief in the village, so he gathered his people together and said, "I am much grieved by the wickedness of one man in our midst. He will not own up to his crime because he feels we do not know who he is. But I know because right now the hat on top of the thief's head is burning." And the guilty man instinctively put his hand up to his hat and started running.
Maggie, Maggie, over here.
Oh, nice and cool in here, isn't it?
Huh?
I've been thinking some more, John. I sat on the bed trying to creep into Keith's skin and think his thoughts. I know now why he went to Nelspruit. I think I know anyway. He had a dreadful night, perhaps worse than ever, and he hadn't any morphetons.
Clever girl, that's it, of course. All I came up with was he wanted the morning paper, thought he'd be more likely to find one in Nelspruit at that time of the morning.
A paper? Oh, in case there was something about him in it.
Yes. Yeah, I got to a sherry, all right?
Fine.
Just go. After our call comes through, we'll have lunch and then get into the car and drive around. Call at chemist shops, garages, see what we can find out.
Mr. Lucas, call for you from Johannesburg. Will you take it from the booth, eh?
Oh, yes, thanks. Can I?
Yes, of course.
Hello?
Mr. Lucas?
Yes, speaking.
Johannesburg for you. Speak up, please.
Hello?
Mother here. Any news?
We know he's been here, Mum, but he left yesterday morning. That's all we found out so far.
Well, I have news for you, then. A letter from Keith. It arrived 20 minutes ago, posted in Nelspruit yesterday morning. Shall I read it out?
Well, hang on a minute. I'll get Maggie to listen in, too. Letter from Keith.
Oh.
Maggie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear very well. All right, Mummy, read it to us.
It's very short. Darling Maggie, a note to follow my telegram, which didn't tell you very much except that I'm all right. One day I shall make up to you for the anxiety my sudden disappearance must have caused you. It couldn't be helped, darling. I have to see several people round here in connection with our summer tours. The deal is still very much in the air, so don't mention it to anyone unless you have to. Could you ring Basil at the office for me and get him to find out from the traffic department when I am due to appear in court to pay a double parking fine? I inadvertently tore up the summons, and this had better be settled without delay. If you can arrange to be at your mother's flat on Friday night, I'll phone you there at 8. Hope Gregor is well. You too, my darling. There's nothing to worry about. I'll probably return on Saturday. Love, lots of it, Keith. That's all.
Oh, thanks, Mummy. We'll come straight back.
Hey, not so fast. No, Mummy, we'll stay on today, perhaps tomorrow, huh?
Yes.
Be back on Friday for sure to take the call.
All right, Mummy. John's making all the decisions. How's Gregory?
Oh, he did lovely. Stayed dry right through the night.
Bless you, Mummy. Thanks for everything.
Mum, did you receive the duplicate for the summons?
Yes, by the same post.
Well, give de Villiers the details over the phone and get him to pay the fine and post both letters onto us here at the Dome, all right?
Yes. Dad's arranged for Mr. Sterling from his office to pick them up here and take them down to you. He'll be at the Dome at about 6 this evening. They're going to the Kruger Park in the morning.
That's fine. Well done, Mum. Look, ring us here fixed time 9 this evening just to have a chat with Maggie, all right?
I'll book the call right away.
Bye. Big kiss for Gregory.
Bye, Mum.
Bye. Look after yourselves.
Why did he say he'd phone me at Mother's place?
I suppose he's afraid your line might be tapped or something.
Oh, I see.
Lunch is being served on the terrace whenever you're ready, Mrs. Kirby. Mr. Lucas?
Thanks. Mr. Price?
Yes.
We'll be going off straight after lunch. It's just possible that Mr. Scobie might phone to ask if anyone's been inquiring for him.
Oh, yes?
If he does, could you please instruct your staff to say no?
No?
That's right. No one's been asking for him. We'd be most obliged.
Supposing Mr. Scobie returns and wants to stop over for another night.
Well, give him a room by all means, only don't tell him Mrs. Scobie or I are staying here. Tell us first.
Yes, very well.
I'm afraid I can't explain just yet, but please do it for us.
Certainly, Mr. Lucas. Will that be all?
Yes, thanks. We'll have our lunch now.
I hope you'll enjoy it. Mrs. Hammond, I have your parcel.
He's very puzzled.
Probably doesn't for one moment believe I'm your brother.
That occurred to me, too.
Do you know where we're going this afternoon?
To Nelspruit, aren't we?
Nope. We're going to the game reserve. I've got a feeling that's where Keith is holding out. He wants peace and quiet. Time to think and plan. And a certain need to be a little apart from life. A withdrawn observer who can keep tabs on his position from a safe distance. Can you think of a better place for that than the park?
Mrs. Kirby, I have a letter for you.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Price. Thanks, I was expecting this.
Mr. Sterling brought it up from Johannesburg. Good evening, Mr. Lucas. I have news for you, too.
Oh, yes?
Well, Mr. Scobie phoned through before dinner at about 7. He asked whether there was any mail for him or if anyone had been inquiring for him. Of course, I said no.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Price. Where was he calling from?
He didn't say.
Didn't the telephone exchange?
Oh, yes, I see what you mean. No, it wasn't a trunk call. It must have come from either White River or perhaps Saudi, somewhere around here.
Thank you. That's very useful to know.
Oh, and I checked with the chemist shop for you. Someone did ask for morphodons early yesterday morning, but they hadn't any in stock. They recommended the gentleman try Mattel's in Nelspruit. I spoke to the manager at Mattel's, and he said he had sold a dozen tablets to a Mr. Scobie. He had to have the name for his drug and poison book.
Just a dozen? He takes 6 a day.
Well, Mattel's aren't allowed to sell more than a dozen at a time.
Well, thanks for going to all that trouble for us.
Well, I suppose he went around buying up supplies from all the chemist shops in Nelspruit.
Well, Mattel's say they're the only stockists around here. I asked.
Well, that's a stroke of luck. Still, I suppose he might have bought other tranquilizers elsewhere.
But other brands don't agree with him.
You know, we just missed Mr. Scobie at the park, Mr. Price. He left by the Numby Gate a little while before we got there. We've been calling at hotels and pubs in Saudi and White River, but no luck.
Well, I hope you catch up with each other. Mind you, we once had 2 millionaire brothers from the States chasing each other through the park. It took them nearly a week to rendezvous at Sitara. Then the whole park was open at that time of year.
I'll go up to my room now, John. When the Johannesburg call comes through, I'll take it there.
Certainly, Mrs. Gerby.
Thank you.
Sorry. I've been waiting for you to open up the shop.
Well, we don't open till 1:30 usually, you know. I'm early today.
Let me help you with that door.
No, it's okay. Thanks. But we're not officially open. I'm not allowed to serve you for another 15 minutes.
Oh, pity. I'm in a hurry.
What is it you want?
A few morphidons, as many as you can let me have.
Well, then I can't serve you. They're locked up. Mr. Lowe keeps the key. He'll be here any minute, though. Oh, wait, that's probably him now, in the car that's just stopped.
Good. You see, I've got a long journey to make, and the sooner I get started, the better.
Is there anything you've done enough, traveling, Keith?
John, what are you doing here?
Maggie's in the car outside, Vivian, trying to find you.
Maggie?
Uh-huh.
I'll come back for those tablets in a minute.
Yes, sir.
Maggie, isn't all right?
Fine. Just keep yourself in a minute. There's the car, and Maggie.
Hello, Keith.
Maggie. Get inside, Keith. Tell us what you want to do.
Until 5 seconds ago, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Just keep on the go. Keep running. Stop thinking.
No.
Now I feel like a drowning man who's suddenly been thrown a lifeline. You don't know, Maggie, nor you, John, but the police must know by now. 3 months ago, I killed a small boy. My car hit him. 11-year-old Adam Sullivan.
It's the other way around, Keith. We know. The police don't.
How do you know?
Well, we investigated, probed, anticipated. We found you this morning because we expected you. Have you called at the chemist for more sleeping tablets?
If you could do that, then by rights the police should have been on to me yesterday, even the day before.
Why didn't you tell me about it, Keith? How could you have borne it all by yourself for so long? Why didn't you tell me?
I wanted to spare you the worry. I thought I could get away with this, I suppose. It was the day I got back from Plett, Maggie. I stopped off at the cafe in Pilot Avenue for some cigarettes. I must have been ticketed then, though I didn't notice it at the time. Perhaps the slip blew away, I don't know. I remember thinking how dark it was when I turned into Venus Road. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I tell you, a bicycle materialized on my left. I felt no more than a slight impact. I was about to stop, but the cyclist was carrying on riding. So it seemed to me in that flashing moment. I don't know what got into me, what made me carry on instead of stopping. Fear, panic. Also a sense of irritation because it really hadn't been my fault. I didn't know then that the cyclist was a small boy. Not until I read the paper the next morning. It was then that I found out that I'd killed him. And Maggie, you know the rest. The nightmares, worry, the terrible remorse. Night after night, I dream about that boy on the bicycle. And every night, it's the same. I can see him clearly. He's dressed in his Boy Scout uniform. But his face, the face of our baby. It's Gregory I see lying there, in a pool of blood. And nobody stops to help him. To save his life, perhaps, or even to comfort him in his last moments. Oh, Maggie. Why has this happened to us? What have I done to you? To our life together?
Keith. Keith, my darling. If only you'd have told me.
Well, the police will know soon, if they don't already. You realize, Maggie, that we'll lose everything, position, friends, business I've worked so hard to establish. Yet, in a way, I feel almost relieved. Because now I can stop running. It's something time will not heal. It's getting worse, not better. Come, darling. There's our car across the road. We're going back to Johannesburg. I want to report to the police.
Keith. Just a minute. Look, I have a duplicate of that summons here. Take a good look at it.
Well?
How is it that the number of the Montana on the summons is different from the number on your car there?
What, let me see. Darling, do you realize what's happened? Darling, the number on the summons is 189356. The number of our old Montana. The one we traded in just before Christmas, Keith. They weren't ticketing you, but the new owner, who also happened to be in Rosebank at 8 o'clock on the night of January the 2nd. He probably lives around there. Well, after all, you sold your car to a Rosebank garage. Keith, look at me. You realize the police have nothing on you. No evidence of any kind that you got back earlier than you have said in your statement. That you were in Rosebank at the time of the accident, they'll never find out.
She's right, Keith. You're absolutely in the clear. You can forget the whole thing now, Keith.
Let me see that. Of course, it's the number of my old car. I just saw the summons and panicked. Idiotic. Being guilty, I ran.
A man in a burning hat.
What?
No, it's not important. Keith, why don't you and Maggie go off somewhere for a few days? Anywhere you like. Pull yourself together.
Now that I know, it'll be so much easier to forget, Keith.
Will it? Will it, Maggie? You realize, of course, that we'll lose everything. The papers will pounce on this. It's going to finish me business-wise. You realize that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Have I the right to ask you to give everything up? Just so that I can live with myself again?
Every right. If you can't live with yourself, how can you live with us?
I don't know what sentence I'm going to get. But it's going to be prison without option of a fine. Could you stand that?
There'll be a chance for us later on.
Yeah. Come. Will you follow us, John?
Thanks, Reverend.
Keith, the police need never know. Don't you want to think this thing over first?
Strange. Now that I'm, well, safe, suddenly there's nothing left to consider. It's very clear and simple. I need to ask society to punish me. I need that punishment. Just in order to feel that I can start life over again later on, even if it's much later on. Maggie, do you understand that?
I'm trying to understand.
I should consider you and the baby, but I can't go on like this. I'm finished, can't you see? The other way. By giving myself up, there is a chance of happiness for us when I'm released again. And this way, there's no chance at all.
I couldn't hear what they were saying, but it sounds as though it's all over. They shouldn't be long now, Maggie. We'll hear the verdict soon. Would you like another cigarette, dear?
No, it's all right. That's John.
Yes, sir. John? Yes.
Thank you, Sergeant. She's waiting in your office. Hello,
Maggie.
It's over?
Yes.
And?
18 months, Maggie.
Oh, no.
It's more or less what we were told to expect.
That was
I know, I know. They're bringing Keith down here for a few minutes. Mom, you better come with us. We'll wait for Maggie outside, huh?
Yes. I'll see you later, Dale, darling. Be brave.
She's waiting for you, Keith. Thanks.
Look after yourself, Keith. We'll look after Maggie and Gregory for you.
Bless you.
Hello, Keith.
Maggie.
Are we allowed to see each other alone?
Yes, of course. This time.
Sentence. Hoping it wouldn't be so severe. After all, you did give yourself up.
Finally, yeah. But by that time, it was too late.
18 months. That's such a long time. That's such a long time out of our lives.
And the Sullivans? Losing a boy of 11? How long is that out of their lives? 11 years? A lifetime?
But it was an accident. This won't bring him back to life.
Maggie. I have to go now. I promised we wouldn't be long. I can't leave you feeling like this. Darling, you must forgive me. must try and help me.
I do forgive you. I want to help, but I don't know how.
Mr. Scurvy?
I'm coming. I have to leave you now.
Keith?
Yes?
I had a phone call this morning to wish us luck.
Yes?
From the little boy's mother, Mrs. Sullivan.
That was a wonderful thing for her to do.
She told me that you'd been to see her on the day you gave yourself up. That was a wonderful thing to do. Wonderful thing, Keith. We're going to be all right again. When this is all over, we'll start again. And we're here or somewhere else if necessary. You have the courage and I have the faith in you. And I love you too. That's a powerful combination. It can't fail. Go now. None of us will ever have to run away again.
And be sure to tune in next Wednesday night at 8 and every Wednesday night for the week's finest radio entertainment brought to you for your listening pleasure by your hosts, the Brewers of Castle Lager. So until next week then, a very good night to you all.